anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
It's Gary Taggy calling signals after a 67-yard march.
Wiley stands at his own 24, waits for the snap. Rogers deep for Nebraska. Here's Wiley's kick. It's high. It holds up there. Rogers takes the ball at the 30. He's hit and got away. Back up the field to the 35, to the 40. He's to the 45.
Calling the count, he turns, flips off to Rozier. Rozier turns, he's running back around the field. He's trying to get away. He's looking for blockers. He turns upfield. He's going to run a touchdown.
Phillips in the eye, snap with Tommy, and they give him the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the five. And there for the touchdown. He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger, and Nebraska takes the lead. It is history. 13-0.
It's Friday, and it's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're glad to have you along with us. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can give us a buzz at 1-888-455-ESPN. Coming up on the program today, Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em, Daddy's Selections, will he go NFL? Well, we know that. Will he pick some college games with the bowls getting underway? Will he be giving us an over-under on the NAIA National Championship game, which, by the way, is one of our games to pick. Also, Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us. We talked about this earlier in the week. Was out in New York at Jets camp for a couple of purposes, I think hoping to really talk to Bill Callahan, but that didn't happen. But he got a story on Coach Callahan, where he's at 1 year later with the Jets, also with Danny Woodhead, which I'm sure a lot more people read the Danny Woodhead article and cared than the other. But we'll talk to Mitch, talk about the interesting way it is to cover a professional team as opposed to a college team, although Nebraska's, you know, it's not just walk in and talk to people at Nebraska either. So he's coming up on the show, and we will hear the post-game press conference from John Cook last night in what has to be one of the most amazing nights of volleyball in history in the NCAA tournament. 2 5-setters in the national semifinals between the top four teams in the country. You cannot ask for more. Well, you could have asked for 4 more points for the Big Red.
Amazing. What else do you say about what happened last night, Doug? For those ladies to be down and beaten soundly in the first two games, really.
Well, they hung with them, you know, in the first two games until it got to about, about halfway through the set, and then Penn State went on big runs both times and left Nebraska in the dust. But Nebraska started to shore up their block a little bit. Distemper. Tony's got distemper. I thought you sounded better, but feel worse.
I don't. All of a sudden, I don't know. Hadn't coughed in an hour and a half, and all of a sudden.
Derek smokes when we're not here. But to do what they did last night, shore up the block, start to play with a little more confidence, I think, and then unfortunately start to commit errors. You know, I still think, you know what? It was 10-8 in the fifth set, and somewhere, somehow, for the first time all night, it crept into the Huskers' minds that they could win. And that quick, Penn State slammed the door on them. But that is, let's face it, Penn State was the better team. Penn State probably will crush Stanford tomorrow, my prediction. And Nebraska gave them all they wanted. All they wanted.
I thought Penn State was one of those teams where, on a lower scale, like you get a great, take it back to like those Ravenna boys teams. You think, we're really playing these guys pretty close. And you look up, God, we're down 18. You know, Penn State was like that last night. Like, boy, you thought in the first two sets, Nebraska, boy, we're getting some points. We're really playing pretty well. And you look up, boy, 18-13. They got you by 5 points, and really the match is over. I mean, they're just everywhere. They just come from all angles, back row, front row, everywhere. And for Nebraska to come back in the third and fourth, I don't know. Yeah, I have not heard the post-game comments from John Cook. I'm looking forward to that. It had to be an emotional because of the journey. And I think that's what's the national title for this group. Think about the talent disparity last night. There's going to be four Olympians, they say, from that Penn State team. Four.
Possible, yeah.
There's one for Nebraska, Jordan Larson.
Well, as Todd Henrich said when he joined us on Wednesday's program, you're looking at the 2012 Olympic volleyball team here in the Final Four. A majority of the 2012 Olympic volleyball team will be there. Stanford players, Texas players, Penn State players, Nebraska players. A majority, you would think, of the 2012 Olympic volleyball team was playing last night at the Quest Center. And what a crowd. And, of course, Coach Cook and the crowd did acknowledge that was just unbelievable and outstanding. But Nebraska, you know, it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch. I would have been nice to be there, and it was good that the weather didn't really delay a whole lot of folks that had already made the trip. Now, the weather has delayed a lot of things today. We've got some games on, some games off. We've been informed that Kearney High and Kearney Catholic games tonight are still on at this moment, and we will pass along whatever information we can bring to you as the show continues. But I think good time to hear from Coach Cook. Here's John Cook and his post-game press conference last night. It's a few minutes long, nothing too bad, but about 8 minutes of John Cook. And here's what he and then some of the players, Amanda Gates, Jordan Larson, and Tara Mueller, were the three that were up on the podium with Coach Cook last night. But Coach Cook just starts with some opening comments about last night's match.
Well, first of all, I want to thank our fans. I got a chance to catch the 5 o'clock news, and I know there was a storm coming in and ice, and I saw people like ready to camp out if they had to be at this match tonight. So I know it was a hard night travel, and we broke a attendance record. It's just an awesome statement for the state of Nebraska and how they support our team. And I thought it was a great match tonight. We had our chances to finish it at the end. But Penn State's a great team. I don't think anybody at the beginning of the year thought that we'd be in a Final Four. And of the three teams besides Nebraska here, we beat two of them and had a shot to beat the third. But there's a reason they're defending champions, and they showed it there at the end of the Game 5. The other thing I told the team was that I think next week, I'm not sure anybody's going to remember whether we won or lost this match. All they're going to remember is that these three seniors in this team this year wore the Nebraska volleyball uniform, and that's what they're going to remember. And I think I've never had so much fun coaching a match as we had tonight.
Okay, we'll open it for questions. If you would, just flag down Linda, and she'll get you the mic as soon as she can.
Coach, did you have the feeling that Stanford, after Stanford had rallied in the first match, that you would be able to pull it off for your team?
I don't think it had any bearing on our match. I was worried after the first two games against Penn State. You know, we were in trouble. But I told the team, you know, at the beginning of game three there, I said, I just told the whole country on national TV that we're going to make a comeback and win this, so let's go. And I think they gave a great effort. But this team, if you were saw us play last week, I mean, this team competes every point, and they never quit.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about the hustle plays that you guys made tonight? I mean, there were a couple rallies, that unbelievable effort that got extended. Did you need to win the battle of the hustle plays to kind of win this match tonight?
Well, we won our share of them, but that's what impressed me the most about Penn State is, you know, they are a huge physical team, but they really do a great job of bettering the ball. And in those long rallies, they're getting great swings off of chaos plays. But our team was very good at that as well tonight, and we did a great job, and that allowed us to stay in that match and you know, have a shot to win it. I think the symbolic moment was when Lindsey Light one-handed that thing all the way back over. I hope that one makes ESPN top 10.
Jordan, and the players, all of you can address this. You know, you've played two pretty memorable matches over the last week. Will you remember those two most about this season, or what about this year will you remember most?
I think everything that started back in January. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, we found a way to be great, you know, and we never gave up. You know, there was times in this game that we could have gave up very easily. But, you know, this team has heart, and we weren't done. And I think we left it all out there. And we should be proud, and we should hold our heads high.
Coach, I saw Corey Cooper was wearing the jacket again tonight. Unveiled it last week against Washington. Can you talk about the importance of that jacket and whether that mentality was present tonight?
Well, after we lost at Colorado, we decided we had to fight a lot harder when teams came at us. And it was really our first, you know, kind of punch in the gut type match that we had. And so the next day in practice, to use as a metaphor, we brought in the camo. And it was in every practice, and it actually traveled with us for the rest of the year. Corey just happened to bring it on the bench and wear it against Washington, and so it stayed with us. But it's been with us since the Colorado match, and it's just to remind us how hard we have to fight as a team. And you know, it's a great metaphor for us.
Coach, you seem to...
And I'll also add to that, because Larry the Cable Guy texted me today, and he left me a phone message, actually, that he has a new camo volleyball hat, and he's real tight with our team. He's constantly following us, and you know, he wears a lot of camo, so there's also a connection there.
Coach, you seem to have the momentum at 10-8 in the fifth, and then some errors, passing errors and a couple of attack errors. Did they take you out of it a little bit with some good serves at that point, or was there you think it was just a bad string of mistakes?
Yeah, we just, you know, Penn State forces you to play at such a high level. And, you know, and I told our team they're going to dare us to be great. And, you know, if you just give them an inch, you know, they make you pay. And we just, you know, it was a difference between putting the ball right to Sydney and pulling her off a little bit. And, you know, that was the defining moment of that match, that little run right there. And we, I think it was a three-point run. And you know, that really, when you get to the end of game five, you can't give up a three-point run, and that costs us.
Tara, you were involved in that play that we talked about a little while ago, the diving dig by you and then Light. I mean, does that kind of sum up the effort you guys had to bring tonight to this match?
Yeah, I mean, everyone was just not going to let that ball drop, no matter where it was, and I mean, that's the kind of effort that we try to play with all the time. And, yeah, it definitely sums up this team and how bad we fight and how bad we play for each other, that we'll get anything up for each other.
Coach, you mentioned that you've never had this much fun coaching before. Is that just a product of what almost happened tonight or the group that you had out there on the court?
We have a saying in coaching that when the sum is better than the parts, that is the greatest joy, in my opinion, in coaching. At least that's what I talk about at coaches' clinics and to young coaches. If you can get a team, I mean, that's a true measure of a team and a great coaching job and getting that to happen. This team did it, and you just can't but help fall in love with this team. And, you know, this whole night tonight, realizing we're in front of a huge crowd, we're playing maybe the greatest team ever. We'll find out Saturday night, a team that hadn't lost a set, and we're just battling every point. And I was, you know, I tell them to have fun and enjoy it and soak in every minute, and it was just so much fun, again, because Penn State is such a great team, and they force you to play at such a high level. And I saw our team rise to that challenge tonight.
Any more questions for the student-athletes or the coach?
First Jordan and then Amanda, can you just talk about summing up your careers here? And obviously it's not the greatest way for it to end, but, you know, not shabby.
It's been an exciting journey, you know, these last 4 years, and I'm glad to have ended my career in the Quest and in Nebraska. So this is where I started, and this is where I end. And, you know, I was just a small town girl that was happy to be at the university. So it's a pretty big deal.
This experience has definitely just been such a blessing, and I had a wonderful journey, and this team meant so much to me, and having a national championship in 06, and this team led up to so many expectations that nobody had, and so just believing in ourselves was what got us here, and I'm just so proud of our team right now, and I just don't want it to end, and you know, like Jordan said, we started here, and we ended here, so we couldn't ask for anything more.
That was the post-game press conference last night at the Quest Center in Omaha with head coach John Cook, Amanda Gates, and Jordan Larson, a pair of seniors. Tara Mueller was also on the stand as well. And talking about that outstanding night of volleyball, and why not? We talked with him on Wednesday, and he's been gracious enough to give us a couple minutes again this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nobody covers Nebraska volleyball better than Todd Henricks of the Lincoln Journal-Star. And Todd, you would have paid for that one, do you?
That was pretty good. I thought I sat through, the best match I'd ever seen 6 days ago in Seattle. That one was really, really close to as good. And if you didn't care which team won, it probably was better. And I would have to say that it would be hard for anyone to sit here and after watching those two matches and not appreciate the excitement that the sport of volleyball can offer at its highest level. I know that volleyball can be as mundane as any sport when the teams are mismatched, but at its highest level it's a great sport, and the competition you saw last night was reflective of that.
Todd, I think people out there wonder, with the three seniors, and obviously senior leadership has a lot to do with it, but to come as far as this team did in 1 year chemistry-wise, where last year was an absolute disaster, for lack of a better word, and then to what this group all came together and fought for, Who was the main senior? Was it Larson? I mean, that's the obvious choice in your mind.
Well, I think there are a whole bunch of components that went into the fact that this year was so very different. And as somebody who lived through the dramas of last January and February and March, not as intimately as the team did, but pretty darn close. There were some very bad feelings about Nebraska volleyball. And when I spoke to Jordan Larson this morning, I asked her that question, basically, how do you feel about being the person, and I think she largely was the person, that returned or maybe elevated now Nebraska volleyball to as good a feeling as you would ever have, or it's ever seen. And she made an interesting comment. You know, she kind of threw herself under the bus a little bit and said, you know, I can look back on this year and say I maxed out and did everything I could, but I can also admit that I didn't come close to doing that the last 3 years. And I think that says a lot. And this is a player that is going to be as celebrated as any Nebraska ball player ever, or Nebraska volleyball player ever. And she says that she did not max out, even in their championship season. I think what that tells you is, you know, we celebrate a lot in sports, and we beat on a lot of teams in sports. Well, I think that just tells you it's not easy to, not just any team does what it hopes to, meets its own expectations and certainly meets the expectations of those surrounding it. And this team did, and as a result, you saw players sitting on a podium after, you know, moments after a heartbreaking loss last night, able to smile and able to appreciate what they'd done. And, you know, I've covered this team for 11 years, and I'm not sure that I have ever seen smiles after a loss to end the season. And I'm not sure I saw a whole lot of smiles after they won championships a couple of those years. In those cases, they were almost relieved. So it was kind of a unique experience that way.
Well, it was a heck of a ride for this Nebraska volleyball team. And, again, they captured the state's attention by getting up against Washington. I think that was the first time it really captured the fringe fans once again. And we're talking with Todd Hendricks here for a couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Lincoln Journal-Star. I want to get back to the actual match then, Todd. Like you said, if you weren't rooting for Nebraska, it would have been maybe the best match you ever saw. So if you just look at the volleyball that was played last night, Nebraska hung with Penn State the first half of the first two sets, then blew them out in the third set. Fourth set was about as competitive, and into the fifth set. And unfortunately, it looked like in the fifth set, it was more of a set of errors kind of on both teams. As far as the actual volleyball, what happened that allowed Nebraska to get back in this match and then eventually didn't allow them to finish it in the fifth?
Well, you know, I knew that Penn State would be able to get kills. They just have so many weapons and so many great athletic players that it was going to be very hard for Nebraska, or anybody for that matter, to slow them down. They hit 303 last night, which in a Final Four setting is exceptional, except when you realize that for the season, that team hits 404. So they were down 100 points from their average. Nebraska hits 264. If you would have told me that Nebraska could hit 264 against Penn State, I'd have been pretty impressed by that, and I think that's how the match got as far as it did. Nebraska did an exceptional job, you know, especially in those third and fourth sets of getting kills, and that's what it's all about. You got to score points. And they did that. Now, what happened was when they got down to the end, they couldn't pass four or five serves from Nicole Fossett. And there's an interesting story there. Fossett was the National Freshman of the Year in 2005, which was Larson's freshman year. And Jordan Larson will readily admit that that angered her. She was furious in San Antonio the night that Nicole Fossett got that award. And many would say it showed up in her play the next day when she probably had the worst match of her career against Washington, one kill, five errors, 20 swings. And, you know, I think Do I think there was still a little of that one-on-one game going on last night? I think there was. Nicole Fawcett has one of the great serves in college volleyball. And we all hear about Jordan Larson's serve, and players across the country all hear about Jordan Larson's serve. And Nicole Fawcett stuck about five of them in the fifth set, which is pretty darn impressive with all that was on the line. And Nebraska botched a couple of passes, but I'm telling you, those were not cream puffs that they were trying to pass. And that's what it came down to. It's a game of serve and pass. And when it got to the brink, Penn State served and Nebraska couldn't pass, and that was the difference.
Well, Todd, I think the level of volleyball is truly amazing. When you look ahead towards London, how many people on the Olympic team from last night's game?
Well, from last night's two matches, you're looking at an army of players who are going to be in the discussion. I don't know if people got a chance to watch that first match, but Destiny Hooker is a freak when it comes to the volleyball court. Here's a kid who hardly played at all before college. I mean, I can only imagine what kind of player she's going to be in 4 years. Stanford has several players who will be in that running. Fawcett, Harmato, Megan Hodge from Penn State had a great match last night, and there's a little bit of drama there, too. I mean, Hodge was a kid that Nebraska tried and tried and tried to recruit and came up short to Penn State. And there was some irony in that last night. And I think Jordan Larson, if she wants to play in London in 2012, I know if I were a coach, and I don't know much about volleyball, but I know a little about coaching. And if I were a coach, she would be pretty hard not to have on my team. She's just that kind of kid. She's just that kind of player. She can do so many things for you. I think we have a great chance of seeing her on that team in 2012, and it will be a pretty big reunion of this Final Four. Interesting note this morning, I mentioned I talked to Jordan a little while ago at the hotel. She unzipped her sweatshirt and showed me that she was still wearing her jersey from last night's game. And the whole team, those who were brave enough slept with their jerseys, those who were shivering, who tried to sleep with their jerseys and were shivering because they were so sweat-stained, ended up sleeping with their side. But I thought that was a pretty unique, and says a lot about the feelings of this team the morning after their season ended.
Todd, real quick, Penn State, Stanford, your quick assessment?
Well, I think Penn State is the best team in the country. Worry a little bit about their mindset for a one. Stanford was pushed to the brink last night as well, but I think Penn State truly was in a different emotional setting with the crowd and the frenzy. So I think they're the team feeling a little bit spent, I guess is the word this morning. And if they get pushed to that brink again, how will they respond? But based on talent and across the board at all six positions and what they can do to each other, I think Penn State is probably a pretty big favorite going into that final.
Well, Todd, a great job as always. We sure appreciate you giving us some time here again this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, hey, keep up the great work and have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you guys. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Todd Henricks from the Lincoln Journal-Star covers the Husker volleyball program better than anybody and joined us again here. You know, one of the interesting quotes, Russ Rose from Penn State, first ever back-to-back National Coach of the Year. That was named yesterday during a luncheon in Omaha. But he mentioned, he said, I thought our hitters got tired by not winning, by not losing a single set all year. They never went to a fourth and definitely never went to a fifth set. And it looked like that was going to be their undoing last night.
I still – I still think about the two coaches and the emotion that was put into last night. Did that reinvigorate John Cook's career by 10 years this season?
Well, does Nebraska have somebody on the team? We've talked superstars. I don't know that Nebraska is going to have a superstar coming into next year. I don't, and that's going to be a different spot for Nebraska. James in Grand Island says, I really don't like volleyball, but that game last night was a great, great game. Daddy's going to go take care of some distemper, and we need to take a break. Coming up, Mitch Sherman to talk Nebraska football, and Danny Woodhead, and Bill Callahan, and all that. After this,
you're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Oh, it may pain a little in the beginning, but after a while, you won't feel a thing.
It's the time of the year for snow, mistletoe, and stocking stuffers. But this year it's a little different. Pro Tint and Carney is offering gift certificates for complete window tinting on all passenger cars. These $100 gift certificates are in short supply and are limited to the first 50 customers. So you should probably only give them the ones on your list who have been very, very nice this year. Remember, just 50 certificates are being offered, so get yours today at Pro Tint and Carney, downtown on the Bricks. And be sure you give them to somebody nice.
The dripping and wet spots you see next spring in and around your RV can be avoided with proper winterization now at Rich & Sons. So many areas of an RV contain fluids, and when fluids freeze, they expand and create cracks and leaks and expense. Talk to the technicians at Rich & Sons, and they'll tell you they also check the roof and siding with a performance guarantee. Save money later when you winterize now. Take your RV to Rich & Sons on South 281 Grand Island.
Before your holiday trips, take your car to the pros at Motor Car Engineering. Belts, hoses, wiper blades, fluids, tires, brakes, any little thing can ruin a great trip. Make your holidays happier and safer with Motor Car Engineering at 4th and Eddy in Grand Island. Happy holidays, season's greetings, Feliz Navidad. However you say it, Five Points Bank wants to wish you a wonderful holiday season and thank you for your business over the past year. We look forward to working with you in the future. Happy holidays from Five Points Bank.
This Sunday, the two top teams in the AFC battle for conference supremacy as the Tennessee Titans host the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the NFL Game of the Week this Sunday right here on the Sports USA Radio Network.
It's a great NFL triple header Sunday coming your way on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, starting with the Steelers and Titans at noon, followed by the Falcons Vikings at 3 and the Panthers Giants Sunday night at 6:30 on ESPN Radio.
A recliner-refrigerator combo? There is such a thing, and you could win it in the ESPN Radio Superstation Slumberland Bowl Bash. From Slumberland of Kearney and Grand Island, Schroeder Smoked Foods, and the Tri-City Storm, log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and make your pick by kickoff December 29th.
A wind chill watch is in effect for our area from Saturday evening out into the day on Sunday. For today, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures up in the low 20s. Winds will also become variable at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll see increasing clouds and a slight chance of snow showers late. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 12.
On the first day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave me a Joe Daly INT.
I forgot about this Doug and Matt classic.
On the second day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me two Lincoln losses and a Joe Daly INT.
Oh, God, do we have time for this?
On the third day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me three blowouts, two Lincoln losses, and a Joe Daly INT. On the fourth day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me fourth in the division, three blowouts, two Lincoln losses, and a Joe Daly INT.
That was actually a better season than some.
On the fifth day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me five measly wins.
Oh, good God.
Fourth in the division.
We'll play that whole thing a couple of times next week. Oh, my goodness. We'll talk Bill Callahan. We'll talk Danny Woodhead. We'll talk Husker football with Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But don't forget, even during the holidays, they're there for you. You're out shopping. You're trying to get things done. It's a mess out there weather-wise. You want a quick lunch. You want a good lunch. And you want to be able to relax. You can do it all at the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Plus, catch all your favorite sporting events. Let's face it, the wife and the kids or somebody like that wants to go out, your girlfriend, and you've got your shopping done. Well, maybe you just need to find a place to kick back, relax. The Chicken Coop, you can watch all the bowl games, all the NFL action, college basketball. It's all at the same time. You can't watch it on one TV or two. You need to get it done at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. HD TVs all over the place, so there's not a bad seat in the house. They're open 7 days a week, wishing you the happiest of holidays. Great lunch specials every single day. Great food and drink specials every night. And don't forget, when Monday Night Football comes around, it's $2 you call it. Whether you want salads, chicken wings, burgers, pizza, steak, it's all there. Ribs, sandwiches at the Chicken Coop on the Bricks in the downtown Kearney, and also in Grand Island. We will run down some of the basketball that is still going on today. Amherst-Axtell, they will play tonight. All activities at Central City are on. Donovan Trumbull Wrestling at Centura, postponed. Elm Creek-Kearney Catholic basketball tonight, on. Kearney High basketball tonight, Grand Island Northwest at home, on. The basketball and wrestling for Franklin Public Schools, they're still doing that. Gibbon High School's games Saturday with Adams Central, they've moved those up to a 1 o'clock start with the JVs, and the varsity will follow. That's on Saturday. Litchfield has postponed their basketball game to January the 20th. Shelton will be playing basketball today. The JVs will start at 3. Silver Lake and Kennesaw, they've postponed to January the 19th. And SEM, Sumner Eddyville Miller's holiday tournament, is on as scheduled. If you've got more to add, give us a buzz at the radio station or call the regular number, 236-9900. Well, first half hour of the show talking a lot of volleyball, but the bowl season gets underway tomorrow. Our selection's coming up. Don't forget to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza. Just log on to be an ESPN superfan at ESPNSuperstation.com, and it's time to talk some football, and not just Huskers, but when you get that downtime, thank God, before a bowl game this year, you can explore some other stories. And Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, seriously, are you more excited about volleyball this morning or football?
Volleyball is a lot more interesting, I think. we can keep talking about that if you guys want. That was one for the ages last night. So it seems a lot more interesting right now than the Gator Bowl. But give it a few days, and we'll be thinking Gator Bowl a lot.
As soon as we're down in the sun. Hey, Mitch, let's jump right into it. Great articles this past weekend, twofold. First, Danny Woodhead, and second, Bill Callahan. So let's start with the Bill Callahan. Was it, when you went out, did you know you wouldn't have a chance to talk to the coach? Was it your intention to finally get maybe a face-to-face with him? Take us through how that all broke down.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I wanted to talk to him. That was the ultimate goal in going there, was to hear what Callahan had to say about everything that's gone on in his life over the last year. That he left Nebraska on that day after 2 days after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, when they lost to Colorado. He came back and had that meeting with Tom Osborne, and he was fired and didn't say anything on the way out the door. No statement, no press release, no comment. Just kind of a wave to the people as he drove by in his car out of the back end of the Hawks Center, and we haven't heard from him since. I think he's done maybe one interview since he's been out in New York, and that was in July, and it was with the New York paper, and they didn't talk about Nebraska, and they don't care about Nebraska. I mean, it's the least of their concerns out there that they have an offensive line coach for the Jets who's a deposed old Nebraska head coach. You know, they're more interested in the fact that he was the Raiders head coach than they are about his college career, and even really that. That Raiders thing is in the past to them. I wanted to hear what he would have to say, but I was not under any kind of illusion that it was likely that he would talk to me. First of all, the Jets do not make their assistant coaches available to the media, and that's pretty much a hard and fast rule. I was given a little bit of hope that maybe an exception would be made, but by the time I got there and actually got into the facility, it was made clear to me pretty quickly that he wasn't going to do it, and he wasn't going to be inconvenienced. They were in their routine of a week that was a big game for them, a division game against the Bills with really their season on the line. And I understand that, but I was definitely still able to accomplish what I wanted to just see what's going on with this guy. I actually did get to see him on Friday after practice, and talking to the linemen was interesting, and just seeing the town that he lived in, I think, was maybe the most interesting thing, because they don't know who the guy is. They really don't even know that he's there, what he does. So the anonymity is certainly an intriguing part of that story.
So Mitch, I guess take us to the locker room and I guess familiarizing yourself with the players and then bringing up his name and how comfortable were they with all that?
Yeah, it's not any different than any other professional locker room. I mean, I've been in NFL locker rooms before and Major League Baseball locker rooms before, and it's just it's the same kind of a situation. I mean, they've got a practice facility that's outside of the city. It's about 25 miles to the west of New York City, and really, when you drive through that area, and this is where Callahan lives now, it's a small town. New Jersey, yeah, you're in the suburbs of New York, but you don't know it. If you just dropped into this place, you could be in Kearney, and it's big time NFL football when you get out to the facility. They just spent $75 million to open up this new state of the art facility that houses their training complex, their entire headquarters, and when you get into the locker room and you start talking to the offensive linemen. The guys who work with Bill Callahan the most, really, it's not a touchy subject for them. He's just their position coach, you know, really no different than anybody else would be. The fact that he was the head coach at Nebraska, I think, was something that maybe they gave a little bit of consideration to when he first got there, because they wanted to see what this guy was going to be like and if he fit in with them moving back into the ranks of being an assistant coach. But that's really one of the points here that's important to make, is that he's at home there. You know, he likes this is where he fits. He didn't fit as a head coach at Nebraska. I think we had all kind of learned that by the end of those 4 years. And he does fit here. The NFL game, I think, is suited to him, and especially the spot where he's out of the spotlight and people don't constantly know who he is. The linemen, they seem to like him. They talk about all the attributes that we heard about when Bill Callahan became the head coach at Nebraska, and everybody, the people who made the decision to hire him talked about his intelligence and his meticulousness, his attention to detail. Those are all the things that I think have come back to the forefront a little bit. And I don't, I don't doubt at all what they say about the fact that he is good at what he does as a position coach in the NFL.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World-Herald joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, you also spoke with Danny Woodhead, who is still a part of the Jets family after being injured in training camp. What's your feeling? Will he be a player on this roster next year? How healthy is he? Does he think it was a cheap shot that took him out? What did you take away from this interview?
Well, I don't know anything at all about the circumstances in which he got hurt. I know it was in a drill on the second day of camp, the third practice of the year. But it was interesting to me that he was very guarded about what he could say about the injury, and it was really nothing. He wouldn't even confirm that it was his knee, but that's been pretty widely reported. And he's to the point in his rehab where you can't tell. You know, he's not wearing a big brace. He's not limping. He seems to be walking around just fine. I didn't see him run. I didn't see him do any kind of physical stuff. In fact, he's not able to even practice with the Jets. He's kind of on his own schedule. He's at the facility at the time of the day when most of the team is, but he doesn't go through the practices during the week like the rest of the 53-man active roster does. But it definitely says something, I think, about the Jets' feelings for him, that here's a guy who was undrafted. They didn't have any kind of real commitment to him. He went down on the second day of camp, yet they kept him around. They could have just released him and been done with him and said, hey, you're going to be sitting out there a year from now. Go rehab this on your own. If you're in good shape, we'll pick you up again. But they're paying him. They're footing the bill for his rehab and whatever he went through. I assume he had surgery. I mean, it seems that it was some kind of a ligament tear. I mean, it may have been an ACL, but he doesn't say, and he's very clear that he can't talk about it. And to me, that was a little bit interesting. You know, the guys who were on the 53-man roster, it's mandated by the NFL, if there's an injury with those guys, that it has to be released. There's an official injury report. But if you're not on that 53-man roster, if you're on the injured reserve, you don't have to say anything. The NFL doesn't require it. And the Jets aren't going to let any kind of injury information out that isn't required. So he's very tight-lipped about it. But he seems to be doing well. I think he has a decent shot to make the team next year. Otherwise, they wouldn't have kept him around this long. I mean, he's got a locker room right there in the locker room. He's got a locker right in the locker room with everybody else, two doors down from Brett Favre, in fact. And I think he's got a shot to make it, maybe as a kick returner and a special teams player, and somebody who can, you know, mix himself into the offense on a specialized play that's designed for his skills.
Well, Mitch, you just said his name, Brett Favre. You had an encounter and got a quote from Brett Favre. Tell us about that experience real quickly before you about got thrown out.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. You know,
you could co-host this show.
You know, and I didn't know that he's not supposed to be interviewed, but he was there in the locker room and seemed to be friendly enough. So I approached him and introduced myself, and we had a nice little chat about Omaha, and Brett was surprised that there was somebody from Omaha who was out in New York in the Jets locker room, but the second that I asked him a question, and I just asked about whether he had noticed Bill Callahan's influence over the offense, or if there had been any kind of influence that Bill Callahan had made on the offense. Obviously, Brett Favre and Bill Callahan don't work together on a real close level. He's the offensive line coach and the running game coordinator, and Favre's the quarterback. He's working with the coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, and the head coach, Eric Mangini. But Favre had a nice comment to say about Callahan as the Jets ran over to intervene and cut off the interview right at the very second that the first question was asked. But, you know, it was nice to be able to hear his thoughts, albeit brief, on the subject.
Well, Mitch, we'll let you get back to your day and enjoy Jacksonville, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you again before the Gator Bowl. And great work, as always. We appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a great holiday. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World-Herald joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy, coming up, we've got Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em, but, of course, the holidays are here, and Troutman's Quality Meats wants to get you rolling with whatever. Prime rib, seasoned prime rib. They'll get you what you want, as big as you want, small, cut it up, take care of it. They've got hickory smoked and boneless ham, smoked turkey in stock. A great new order of smoked string cheese sitting there waiting to go. Smoked salmon as well. Whatever you need. How about a gift card?
Hello.
Yeah, gift card. You know, you need to get Daddy a present. Derek, you getting Daddy anything?
No.
Well,
am I supposed to?
Can you get gift cards for $1.86?
Yeah, I could probably get you one for a buck or so. Stick a gun.
Doesn't matter. They've got snack sticks. They've got anything that you would enjoy. Someone, I'll guarantee you, if you have someone on your Christmas list that likes food, Troutman's is a perfect gift for that person. Troutman's Quality Meats, across from Bob's Superstore, Highway 30 in Kearney. Whether it's a gift card or whether you're looking to prepare your meals for Christmas and New Year's, the bowl season, got a great selection of wine on hand and beers as well. Stop by, see their selection, Troutman's Quality Meats here in Kearney. Let's get somebody signed up for Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em. Be caller number 7 right now, 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-ESPN, and you'll win a $25 gift card to Johnny Casino's and go up against this mighty duo in this weekend's games.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
An outstanding presentation. An outstanding...
If you've had the misfortune of never venturing inside the chicken coop, here's what you've been missing. The chicken coop is the perfect place to gather to watch sports because there are screens everywhere. And you can enjoy your favorite drinks, domestic beers, and microbrews. But the chicken coop is more than sports. It's also a family-friendly eatery that serves food like ribs, pizza, steaks, and wings. Speaking of wings, come in and try the two new flavors, jalapeno garlic and honey barbecue. Find out why so many people flock to the Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island and downtown Kearney.
Also coming up on the show, we're giving away a Sun Heat Systems energy-efficient space heater. Melt the snow off your toes. Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em coming up. Daddy's selections as well. I want to thank Todd Henricks from Lincoln Journal Star, Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald. Good stuff today. Where else can you get good stuff, Daddy?
Dyna-Gro is where it's at. Whether you're talking Roundup Ready Corn 2 system, which you can use to optimize profit potential and peace of mind, or you're talking Yield Guard VT Triple to maximize insect protection for maximum yield potential, you're talking Dyna-Gro. They've got it all, folks. We tell you, more acres this year were planted than ever before. Well, next year, more acres are going to be planted than ever before. There's a reason for that. Dyna-Gro is growing, and they're growing with you. 1-800-652-9298. Call your local Dyna-Gro seeds dealer. Have Just listen to them. They know what fits your area, which region best. They will take care of you. 1-800-652-9298. Quality is not just a word. It's Dyna-Gro. They know that. You know that. Call them today.
It's time for Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em, and joining us today at 1-888-455-ESPN, the winner of a $25 gift card to Johnny Casino's, just off Highway 281 at the Conestoga Mall, behind the Conestoga Mall, if you will. That's the way I always think it. The west is behind and east is in front of the Conestoga Mall. Johnny Casino's in Grand Island. Bob from Kearney joins us. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I don't know. I see some of Daddy's picks, and I think you got a shot. I think you got a shot. We got a good mixture, some bowl games this weekend. Let's start with the first one tomorrow, Wake Forest and Navy. Bob, who do you like?
That's tough. I'd say Wake Forest.
Tony.
I'm going to take Navy.
I'm going to take Wake Forest, even though Navy beat him earlier this year. Colorado State at Fresno State. I'm going to take Fresno State, Daddy.
I got Fresno as well.
How about you, Bob?
Yeah, Fresno.
Memphis and South Florida. A lot of people calling this maybe one of the biggest mismatches of all 34 bowls. Tony, who you got?
Yeah, South Florida roll.
I'll take South Florida. How about you, Bob?
Well, I hate to agree with you, but South Florida.
BYU, Arizona. In fact, Arizona with the much worse record here, but actually favored in this game, and a lot of people like Arizona. Arizona, BYU. Who do you like, Bob?
I lived in Arizona, but I'm going to go with BYU.
See, I like BYU, Tony.
I'm going to take BYU. The Mormons are just so friendly.
Wow. Sunday, Southern Mississippi and Troy. You know, even though it's just one guy, I'm going to take Troy.
He's a hell of an athlete. I'll take him as well.
What about you, Bob?
I'll have to agree.
Okay, now we go to the 1AA or whatever they call it now, championship. Montana against the Spiders of Richmond. It's the Grizzlies and the Spiders, Daddy. I'm always taking Montana. I always take Montana. Who are you taking?
I'm going to take those pesky, tricky Spiders.
How about you, Bob?
Montana.
Now we go to the NAIA National Championship. GPAC champion Sioux Falls, number two in the country, against number one Carroll College. Daddy, who you like?
I'm going to take Sioux Falls.
I'm going to take Carroll College. Who do you like, Bob?
Carroll.
Now three NFL games, and I think three of the more intriguing ones of the week. Pittsburgh, Steelers at Tennessee. Who you like, Bob?
Oh, Tennessee.
Daddy?
I've got Tennessee as well.
Oh, no. 2 weeks in a row. Pittsburgh's the best team in the NFL, but they're going to lose this week. Oh, my God. I'm taking the Steelers on the road. Baltimore at Dallas. Gee, Tony, who are you going to take here? The Ravens? They'll probably win the Super Bowl.
No, I'm going to take T.O. and T.C., my boys.
I'm taking the Cowboys in the final regular season game at Texas Stadium. How about you, Bob?
I agree, Cowboys this week.
And Atlanta at Minnesota. Who you got, Daddy?
I've got the Vikings.
Bob, who you like here?
Oh, I don't like the Vikings, but I'll take the Vikings.
Oh, good. I'll take the Falcons in this one. And our tiebreaker, total number of points in the Carolina-New York Giant game, Bob.
Carolina.
How about total points in that game?
Total points, 48.
Tony?
I've got 38.
Man, you know what I'm going to do? 44.
Oh, really?
Bob, thanks so much. $20 gift card to Johnny Casino is coming your way. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
We still got a break?
Yes.
What's going on around here? Let's take it back after this with Daddy's Picks.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't believe they're still on the air.
Well, it's certainly not the first time we've heard that. It's the time of the year for snow, mistletoe, and stocking stuffers. But this year it's a little different. Pro Tint and Carney is offering gift certificates for complete window tinting on all passenger cars. These $100 gift certificates are in short supply and are limited to the first 50 customers. So you should probably only give them the ones on your list who have been very, very nice this year. Remember, just 50 certificates are being offered, so get yours today at Pro Tint and Carney, downtown on the Bricks. And be sure you give them to somebody nice.
In Las Vegas, the high rollers never miss a good play. Neither do you at Johnny Casino's Grand Island. You can watch every Husker game, whether broadcast or pay-per-view. Plus, NFL Sunday Ticket. Wednesdays, Texas Hold'em at 6:30 and 9:15. And even after your high school game is done, Johnny Casino's has the oven hot with fresh pizza. Johnny Casino's, west side of the Conestoga Mall off 281 Grand Island. And remember, what goes on at Johnny Casino's will bring you back to Johnny Casino's.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
A wind chill watch is in effect for our area from Saturday evening out into the day on Sunday. For today, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures up in the low 20s. Winds will also become variable at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll see increasing clouds and a slight chance of snow showers late. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 12.
Doug and Daddy Show, where we are ready for Daddy's selections for the weekend. We've made our straight-up selections in college football. What do you have for us this week, Tony?
You know what? I really just did three NFL games because that's the kind of guy I am.
Because you're coming off a winning week and you don't want to mess things up. Is that what you're saying?
That's really the main reason.
Three NFL games, all of them on Sunday?
All of them on Sunday.
All right. Here it is. Daddy's selections. He may be giving you a Christmas gift, or it may be a chunk of coal.
I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs at home, plus those 4.5 points. Gobble up those points. It's very, very cold in Kansas City, much like it is here. Not so much in Miami. They don't like cold. I like the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver, -7 versus Derek's Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills have mailed it in. I just think they're done. They're not playing for much anymore. I think the season's over. Denver knows they need a win to wrap things up in that division. Washington, Redskins. My final choice for you, I'll gobble up those 5 points. I think after Jim Zorn says he's the worst coach in all of America, you know what? You're fine, Jim Zorn. You got some things figured out. The players got a couple days off. Everybody's coming back with a clear head. Philadelphia seems to be that hot team. I think Washington steps up and punches them in the face.
How about Philly wins close?
I'm thinking, you know what?
That worked for you?
I think Washington wins close.
You think Washington outright? Maybe a money liner.
There you go.
Hey, Nebraska wrestling with Kent State tomorrow. Postponed. No date has been made up. Hastings College basketball has been postponed. The women for tonight and tomorrow, those have been postponed. Nebraska basketball still on. Some other notes. High school basketball, I guess, keep it here. Kearney High Wrestling is not going to the Flatwater Fracas today, but they're going to go tomorrow. But the basketball is on. Diving today in Omaha off, but swimming tomorrow on. Don't forget the Lopers are home tomorrow. Fort Lewis and Adams State on Sunday, 4 and 6 both days. The Hastings men are scheduled to host Bellevue tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And at last check, that is still on. And I guess you can get us out of here, Derek. Tri-City Storm is on the road. We're gonna give away our SunHeat space system, space heaters, next week. Maybe we'll give away two for the holidays because that's just kind of cats we are.
That's a good idea. You know, I never even got a chance to make this statement. The field goal last night, and it's always back on Vinatieri. It was last year. It was this year. I don't know that that field goal wasn't good. And I know the official doesn't know if it was good or not. I think it was good. If the goalpost would be 10 foot higher, we'd know for sure. That's right. I'm back on that. By the way, why all the hatred out there for Tyler Hansbrough? Everybody, he's not going to be a good NBA player. Big deal. You don't watch the NBA anyway, idiot. You hate the NBA. That's all you've told me for the last half hour. But now you just can't believe Tyler Hansbrough. He's not going to be good in the NBA. Shut up.
Yeah, maybe we ought to have a show tomorrow. Monday, Doug and Daddy Show, a Husker Roundtable. We'll recap the season that has been so far. Preview the Gator Bowl. I want to thank Todd Hendricks, Lincoln Journal star, Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald for joining us today. Enjoy the bowl games, folks. We will see you Monday.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.